Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah. We'll start from 2 Corinthians 9 and 4. Today's theme is the weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare. So we'll read together. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But that they are mighty through God to what? Pulling down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Let's read from verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. As believers, we're in a war and we didn't start the war. Are we together? Of course, nobody told God, I want to be in a war. As we just became believers, the Bible says we are in a war. And it's a war to subduing the mind of humanity and having total dominion upon the face of the earth. Not because God wants to be in a war with the devil, but because the devil will not allow what God has done to find expression. Are we together? So it is not God wanting to be in a war with the devil. Of course, I've told you several times that Satan is not the opposite of God. He is not worthy to be called the opposite of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Do you understand what I mean by that? That Satan is not worthy enough to be called the opposite of God. He cannot contend with God. He is not equal with God. Are we together? He is actually a rebel, fighting to making sure that everything that God says should be, would not be. Are we together? So when we became believers, or when we were created into this world, and of course after Satan had rebelled, he wanted to make sure that humanity is subjected to a life against God's original plan for humanity and of course the earth. And that's why we are reading here, Paul is saying, although we walk in the flesh, he said, we do not what? War according to the flesh. Hallelujah to Jesus. That we walk in the flesh, we live in the flesh, I mean, but we do not wage war according to. Let's see it in the TPT rendition. In the TPT rendition. You see, for although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defense behind which people hide. He said, instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to what? Effectively dismantle the defense behind which people hide. That means there is a force behind every character of any human being you've been seen upon the face of the earth. Remember Jesus speaking to Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan. He knew the force behind the words of Peter. Are we together? Are you guys here tonight? As you hear people talk every day, there's a force behind their speakings. It's either the force of God or the force of the devil. Are we together? Verse 4. It says, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bowed in obedience to the anointed one. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now give me the NLT rendition from verse 3. He said, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. Amen? Meaning we don't use guns, we don't use cutlasses, because we are not fighting human beings as Christians. But if you are a soldier, you use gun. Are we together? This one is different. Alright? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Yes, so. Hallelujah to Jesus. So let's continue what we're reading. In the NLT's rendition, it said we are human. Jesus is still strong here. If you like, think that Jesus has left. It's your own cup of tea. He said we are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. Next part of scripture. He said we use God's mighty weapons, not world weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy what? False arguments. Hallelujah to Jesus. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy what? False argument. Now, see something the TPT said. The TPT said, it says something is hiding behind every human that we see. There's a force hiding behind every human, an argument that we hear and see. They are saying something nice, but there's a force that is what? Causing them to say those things. Life is not natural. Life is 100% spiritual. The TPT said, we use God's mighty weapon, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false argument. Verse 5. It says, we destroy every proud obstacle. I said the TPT. What's happening with the media team today? It said we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defense of true knowledge. Now, give me verse 4 of the TPT. From verse 3, okay. See, for although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively what? Dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can substitute for defenses there to be argument or ideas behind which people will hide. So you see people saying certain things on the earth, and a lot of them don't align with God's purpose, don't align with God's word. And you are wondering, why will a human being be talking like that? I hope you are aware there is a spirit that is behind most of the speakings you hear. Not even most, all. There is no idle word. The Bible says every idle word will be what? Will be judged. In other words, there is nothing like an idle word. Are we together? You are either for light or for darkness. That's why you hear some nice people, you know. I don't know if I send that link. I would have. Did I send that link to you? Oh, I forgot. I wanted to send a link for him to him so that he will play into this service. So that you see what happens on the earth. Crazy, crazy things happen. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see people dressed up. Is it possible to send the link for you? Let me just send it so you see what you can do. If you are able to play it before I'm done teaching, fine. I'll just send it to you. I think I sent it to my wife yesterday when I saw it. Now, when we note these kind of things that are happening upon the face of the earth, it's not because we are scared. We are not scared. When I see these kind of things, they don't make me scared. But I have to be quite concerned, because a lot of people without knowledge will succumb to the ideas. Together? A lot of people without knowledge will what? Succumb to the ideas. You see, people dress so nice, but their beliefs are demonic. Looking educated, but their beliefs are what? Highly demonic. If he's able to play that link, you'll be so amazed, because you see how people are standing publicly to declare allegiance to the devil. How that someone said, "I worship the devil." They can't even hide it anymore. And somewhere, as the MC was speaking, he said some things. He said, "We control what people hear and what people see. And turn your children," it was more like a comedy. See what they were joking with. "Turn your children into," "give your children woke mentality." And they were joking about it. Now, these are things that people are addicted to. These are movies, these are shows that human beings are addicted to. They are watching it innocently, they are watching, not knowing that they are being subjected. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, "Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war like humans war." He said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to what? The pulling down of strongholds." Hallelujah to Jesus. I'll show you another scripture. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. Because of this, then the Lord will say, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Next part of scripture. He then says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles." Is it wheels or wiles of the devil? Let's see it in another rendition so that we see the meaning of that. Maybe in the Amplify. Okay. He said, "Put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the what? Schemes and what? The strategies and what? The deceits of the devil." Next part of scripture. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponent, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places." You see that? We are not fighting against flesh and blood. You know, a lot of people struggle in the flesh, and they think that's what they are fighting. All the addiction and etc. You are not fighting flesh and blood. Your fight is against spiritual forces in high places. "Oh, Pastor, I'm addicted to this sin for several years." That's not what you are fighting. You are not fighting the flesh. The flesh is not your enemy. It is the spiritual forces of wickedness that are your enemies. And how do they subject you? They subject you by first imputing their ideas on your inside. If you hearken and give in to their ideas, then they begin to lord over you. Is it they may be big in the realm of the spirit, these supernatural forces of wickedness, these demons, these evil spirits, some sort of. They may be so big, they may even have some height that is bigger than this building. You know, those days when we were young, sometimes when we are faced with encounters, we see how big demons can look or angels can look. And you see some of our brethren, and even us, while we're growing up, we'll be describing how ambiguous these demons look and be wondering how that our prayer should be equivalent to how big they are in the supernatural. So you see that we want to pray so hard because the demons are so big. But that's foolishness. That was ignorance. Hallelujah to Jesus. These demons may be very big in the realm of the spirit. They may look so big, gigantic. Are we together? But they are powerful as you accepting their ideologies, and powerless when you what? Throw down their ideologies. If you believe their ideologies, they have supremacy over you. You turn down their ideologies, they are useless before you. They are as powerful only when you accept their ideologies. If you refuse to accept their ideologies, they are very useless in the realm of the spirit. So the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But are what? Mighty through God to pulling down these spiritual forces. Remember, he said we don't fight against what? Flesh and blood. But against what? Principalities and powers. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10 says, by subjecting ideologies and argument that seems to what? Raise itself above the knowledge of God. The TPT rendition says, ideologies that are marked as human beings. Many human beings are saying it like it's their way of thinking, but it's a demon speaking through them. And I gave you an instance. Jesus speaking to Peter, get behind me, what? Satan. Peter was speaking, and here is Jesus saying, Satan, get behind me. So you see, if you were not discerning like Jesus, you feel like Peter was being emotional. Because Peter did not say anything that seems so bad, isn't it? What were the words of Peter? Master, you cannot die. Blah, 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 blah. But it was destined for Jesus to die. And what did Jesus tell him? Get behind me, Satan. Not even Peter thought he was being used. That's how you have friends sometimes that Satan will be using. And they will not be aware. Are you listening to me? Maybe you should tell them, get behind me, Satan. So that they are aware. Sometimes your friend just comes inside the room and they start one stupid joke. You are thinking about the Holy Spirit and how to start praying. And they come and say, that boy safe. That boy lives fine. Oh, you see? What do you say? Get behind me, Satan. Some come and they are just bringing evil ideologies that will make you negate the ways of God. What do you say? Get behind me, Satan. And listen, they are not even aware. Like Peter. I'm sure Peter was very shocked that he was called Satan for a moment. When Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I'm sure he was like, me, Satan. But of course, Jesus was so discerning to know that that was Satan speaking through what? Peter. When you hear somebody say, let a man marry a man, who is speaking? Because Satan wants to stand against everything that God represents. If God says man and woman, Satan wants man and a man. Are you people listening to me? If God says man and a woman, Satan wants a woman and a woman. God said, I created in myself him and her, male and female. Satan says there should be male, female, and others. That sounds intelligent. In fact, they've given him a name, given that ideology a name. They call themselves liberals. But who are they liberated? They are subjected. They are Satan's subjects. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you catching this flow tonight? So who are actually enforcing those ideologies on these people? Unknown to them, they thought that it was them that just decided to start thinking like that. But who is the person that is speaking through them? The devil. A lot of times when Satan is using you, you will not be aware. But he's using you. Peter was not aware. Jesus had to tell him. They are not aware. We have to tell them. Are you listening to me? Very important. A lot of evil ideologies we see finding expression. I was telling some folks one day, I said, if you don't stand and are ready to be persecuted, you can never be a strong Christian. You can never be a strong Christian. You should be ready for persecution. If Jesus was persecuted, Jesus said, you are not greater than me. You must be persecuted. If you are not ready to be persecuted, if you are somebody that when they persecute you, you start crying, you cannot be a Christian. Go and look for another religion. You cannot be a Christian. Because if you learn to say the truth, if you always say the truth, you have enemies. The Bible said Jesus was hated without a cause. Meaning there was no single reason to hate Jesus. Yet, people hated Jesus. Who can ever believe that the Messiah should be hated? What did he do to be hated? Did he lie? Did Jesus say anything that was bad in scripture? He always spoke truth. In fact, his personality is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yet, people still fought Jesus. The Bible said he came to his own. And when he started saying truth to his own what? Received him not. Are you listening to me tonight? And that's why Jesus is saying in Ephesians 6. He said we must be fully fortified, wearing the whole armor of God, so that we can stand against the schemes, the evil wheels of the devil, the evil strategies of the devil. How do you wear the full armor of God, the whole armor of God? Of course, by being aware of your place in Christ and by being conscious of that place in Christ. The Bible says he in Christ is what? Christ Jesus is the whole armor of salvation. When we get into Christ, we've won the whole armor of salvation. And we can stand against every what? Scheme, evil strategies of the devil. That's why the Bible says when one is skilled in the word of righteousness in Hebrews, is it Hebrews 5? Down through 11, down through 14. It said when one is skilled in the word of righteousness and his senses are exercised, it says such a person can grow to a point that he begins to tell the difference between what? Right and what? Wrongs. Are you people listening to me tonight? So how do you win? By God's word, right? When one is skilled in the word of righteousness and his senses are exercised, he can tell the difference between what? Wrongs and right. In Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intention of the heart. When you have God's word, you can never be swayed by Satan. 1 Timothy 1:18-19. It says, Timothy, my child, I entrust you with this command in keeping with the precious prophecies about you, so that by them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and thereby shipwrecked their faith. Meaning, if you have God's word, then you can war properly. Are we together? You can war what? Properly. Yesterday I was talking to leaders and I said to them, you don't know how glorious you are, and somehow you can have an idea by how Satan is trying to torment your life. Satan understands the intensity of your glory. That's why he's on you. You may not even believe in yourself yet. Satan knows it. He sees it. He knows how glorious God has created you. The Bible said, he said, who is man that thou be what? Mindful of. It was Satan that was saying these words. You've crowned him with what? Glory and honor, and you've made him, set him above all the works of your hands. So Satan is wondering, what level of glory does man have? What kind of glory is this? And that's why Satan is against humanity with the whole of his strength, with the whole of the forces of darkness. Now, saying this should not get you scared, because what Jesus has done for you to live a glorious life is bigger than all of Satan's attempts against your life. The Bible says, if you are upon Christ, he said the gate of hell will not what? Prevail against you. In Luke 6 from 46, let's see it. Luke 6 from 46. It says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Next part of scripture. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Whoever what? Comes to me, hears my sayings, and what? I want to show you who that person is like. So now, I want to see who that person is like, right? He is like a what? Man. Building a what? Who what? And what? Who are we describing here? A man that is able to hear God's word and do them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, and could not what? For it was founded on the rock. So why will it not shake? Why will it not shake? It was founded on the rock. That's why it will not shake. Now, who did we just describe? A man that can what? And what? Meaning God is saying, no, see the next part of scripture. We have not finished describing that man. It says, but he who heard and did nothing is like what? A man who builds on the earth without, against which the stream what? And immediately it what? And the ruin of that house was what? You see that? In other words, the man that even built on the rock, something happened. The stream beat it what? Vehemently. Flood beat it what? Vehemently. Whatsoever happened to that man. But the man was not ruined. Why? Because the man was built where? On the rock. And who is that rock? Christ Jesus. Are we together tonight? You don't win in life by good intention. You must be built on the rock. Say, Father, I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. Help me not to sin. That's not how you win in life. You don't win in life by good intention alone. Good intention is not enough. Are you all listening to me? What did Paul say in Romans 10? From verse, I think 3. Let's see it quickly. Romans 10, he said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness are seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Verse 4, he says, alright, give me verse 2. Is it verse 2? I'm looking for something. Verse 2. Alright. He said, for I bear them witness. Now, look at from verse 1 so that you understand it better. He said, my brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for who? Is that they should be. Paul is praying for Israel to be saved. Unbelievable. That Israel should be saved with all their religious ideologies. Paul said they are not saved. He said he is praying for them to be saved. Now verse 2. He says, for I bear them witness. Meaning Paul is saying, I agree with them that they have what? Zeal for God. They have zeal for God. But the zeal is not according to what? Knowledge. You see that? That you can have a zeal for God, but the zeal is not according to what? Knowledge. Then he now says in verse 3, he said, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, have created for themselves another righteousness, and are not what? Submitted to God's righteousness. Jesus said, if the light in you be darkness, how what? That's what is happening in verse 3 here. They were ignorant of God's righteousness, so they assumed for themselves another ideology of righteousness. And that way are not submitted to God's righteousness. They're exactly like Luke 6:47. They built their house on sinking sand. So when the stream of this world, the flood of this world hit them vehemently, they were ruined. Why? Because they were not on the right foundation of righteousness. But Paul said in verse 2, I bear witness that they have what? A zeal for God. Meaning these people, they love God. But because they don't have sufficient knowledge, they are still subjected. Are you listening to me? Because they don't have sufficient knowledge, they are still what? Subjected. So you see, zeal is not enough. It must be backed by what? Knowledge. There are many people who want to live for God but cannot live for God because of what? Ignorance. Do you think every fake pastor signed it from the beginning to be fake? You think every false preacher signed it from the beginning to be false? I can tell you, no, they didn't. As they grew up, some of them were faced with challenges. And when they were faced with challenges, instead of overcoming, that's what the Bible meant for the stream of this, the stream beats the building what? Vehemently. The flood beat the building what? Vehemently. When challenges hit them, they were subjected. Why? Because of ignorance. But they had a zeal for what? For God. Now, Paul is saying Israel had a zeal for God. But they still say crucify Jesus with their zeal for God. His blood be upon us and our what? Children. They had a zeal for God. Are you all listening to me tonight? But the zeal was not according to what? Knowledge. I mean, have you seen people who are religious who are praying for almost 24 hours, but praying wrongly? Praying amiss? These people have a zeal for God, but not according to what? Knowledge. They are very religious. But the way they are praying, a result cannot be bettered because they are praying what? Amiss. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, I don't want to sound troublesome this morning, so I'm just trusting God not to even mention some kind of prayers. But you've heard many false way of praying. Many wrong way of praying. There's a way to pray. That's why the disciples said, teach us how to pray. Meaning you can pray wrongly. And if you pray wrongly, you will not get a result. The desired result, the desired outcome, you will not see. There is nobody under the sound of my voice that wants to be a sinner. If you are a sinner today, it is because it's not by default. It is by, how do I put it? It is by, should I say, chance or necessity. You didn't sign it to be a sinner. If you had ever made any great mistake here, you never planned to make that mistake. Somehow you made the word mistake. In your heart of heart, you truly wanted to live for God. But suddenly you were overpowered. And they started, the forces, how did they penetrate your life and had dominion over you? They started with an ideology, isn't it? They come through an ideology. I told you, Satan is there, but it's not as powerful as you believing his ideology. If you believe Satan's ideology, then he has mastery over you. You reject it, he's just a teen. Look at verse 5 or 7 Corinthians 10. It says, by subjecting every thought that seems to want to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ, bringing them to the obedience of the Christ. You see that? Now, I always used to say, how do you subject every thought that wants to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ? Or that seems to, like NKJV will say, seems to want to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ. You must have had the knowledge of Christ to know what is not the knowledge of Christ. So it is by the knowledge of Christ that you can subject what is not the word knowledge of Christ. You see why knowledge is powerful? How do I know that what any man out there whose skin color is probably whitish brown, and some people say he's white, who is saying a man should marry a man, how do I know he's false? Even though he looks intelligent, you know, as Africans, if somebody is just a white man, we call them intelligent people. How do I know his knowledge is false? Because the word of God is the light of my life. Not just my life. The word of God is the light of life in its entirety. So when I look at God's word, I see the meaning of life. I see the path of life. And I said, dear sir, you may seem intelligent, but you are ignorant about this part of life. How you will get on trying to explain to you? You see, why God gave us his word is so that one day a man of God that will respect so much will not rise up and say, God told me a man should marry a man. I will say, yes, sir. That's why he gave us his word. And see what he calls his word? The more sure word of what? Prophecy. Have you not heard that men of God leave the path of God? Who were once men of God and all of a sudden they are not men of God again? They are standing for the devil. How do we know they are standing for the devil? God gave us his word. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Meaning the moment it seemed like Paul is not following Christ again, Paul said, don't follow me again. In other words, there's the knowledge of Christ there, and there's the man of God there, and we should follow the man of God as he follows Christ. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Everybody should know Christ. So that when the man of God is leaving Christ, we will leave the man of God. Why? Because the Bible is the more sure word of what? Prophecy. You know what that means? This is what it means. That if anybody comes and say, God said to me, God said to me, God said to me, and it's not in line with what God have already said in his word. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain? The Bible is everything God have already said. And what God is saying must have a connection with what he had said. Get what I just said? What God is saying today must have a connection with what he has said before. Because the word of God is like a straight line. It cannot be broken. The scriptures cannot be what? Broken. It is interconnected. God cannot say something that negates what he has said. Are you all listening to me tonight? So if you want shame as a man of God, it is when you neglect the scriptures. The degree to which you should be honored is as you subject your ideologies to the word of God. That is why the Bible says God is no respecter of no man. If you stand up today and tell us God said a man can marry a man, we will tell you are a false prophet. Why? Because we read in the scripture that God created in the beginning a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you tonight? Very important. See, if we don't stand like this, stand with the word of God, a time will come that there will be no word of God. I tell you the truth. Are you seeing how Western ideologies are seeming to want to replace the truth of God's word? Are you seeing it every day? It's a fight in the realm of the spirit. Demons are pushing. They have men. They have men who have bought into their ideologies. And by these men, they are waging war. Some of these men are in high positions, giving you conditions to even belong to some kind of systems. You go to some places as a sister on fire, they tell you, you must sleep with me. And some will say, is it not just sleeping with them? There's nothing there. What has happened? You have destroyed your consecration. If you don't have a secret place, you will succumb to that. The Bible says you cannot worship God and mammon. But if you heed, the Bible says, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide what? Under the shadow of the Almighty. You cannot serve God and mammon. You hear the saying that says every man has a price. Do you have a price? That should be the important question. Do you have a price? If you have a price, then you don't belong to God. He has not taken over your heart. We've been bought with the highest price. I don't have a price. It's the truth. I can't be bought. It doesn't matter whether they want to give me a house, or if they are giving me one of the banks to be the manager. A man should marry a woman, not a man. You can take me and keep me in Konshisha in one of the mud houses with my whole family. I'll still come out and tell you before you go, a man should marry a woman. Bye-bye, sir. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Bible says we with the word of God on our inside are the light of the world. Are the light of the world. A city what? They say we cannot be hidden. Money is not what makes a man important though. The Bible says the worth of a man is not a function of his material possession. The worth of a man, that's what the Bible said. It's not a function of his what? Material possession. That's what the Bible said. I'm not saying God is against you having money. He's not against you having money. But he said, even if you have money, that does not tell the worth of your life. Meaning money should not control your life. Why is the guy not coming to talk? Why is he pompous? He has $2 billion now. That's why his head is now big. The face cap he used to wear, he cannot wear it again. He's not a child of God. Why is he talking to people like that? He's the managing director. And so what? Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Are you here tonight? So Satan is fighting 24/7. All the preventive measures. But the level of corruption in the hearts of people, will not even allow them use the preventive measures that have been provided. See the level of darkness. You know the preventive measures, yet you decide not to use it. Because probably the fire that was burning you was so much. Look at the level of what? Corruption. It's something to be concerned about. The Bible says, so mildly grew the word of God in the city of Ephesus in the Bible, and the church what? Prevail. The word of God can grow in this city and the church can prevail. You know, some people have to stand up and be intentional about seeing God rise in our city. And that's what it means, doing ministry from the depth of your soul. Doing ministry from the depth of your heart. How can we affect our city? Not a godless people in church. You cannot come to church, one leg in church, one leg in the club, one leg in gospel music, one leg in worldly song, and you think God will use it to affect the world. It's not possible. It's not possible. You must choose today who you serve. The Bible says, in a great house are several vessels. See, the problem with the church, I always tell people around me, I said, the problem is that we have a lot of people in church buildings who are not Christians. A lot of people in church buildings who are not Christian. And it's because pastors have left the place of discipleship. We have left that place of discipling people with the true word of God. Because if we focus on discipleship, the pastor will want to be better in his knowledge of God's word. And we want to raise the people to be like Jesus. But we have neglected that. It's replaced with light, with smoke, with all kinds of decorum. Was it not Jesus in Bible days that they showed him a very beautiful building? What did he say? He said, as long as the Lord remained, he said, one stone in this building will not be left upon another. It seemed like Jesus was jealous. They are showing him a beautiful temple and he's insulting the temple and telling them that the temple will be destroyed. Was Jesus jealous? No, of course. He said, I'll destroy this temple and in 3 days, I'll build it up again. And the Bible says he meant for his body, destroying the body of sin and bringing up another body of righteousness. Meaning he's saying that the reason for this temple is because of the old man. But if the old man is gone, this temple will be gone. Are you listening to me tonight? We have to really wake up and do ministry from the depth of our soul. You cannot be living anyhow and expect the word of God to grow in this city. And that's why I started a discipleship follow-up recently for people to be praying an hour and 30 minutes daily. A lot of Christians don't pray. It's not a joke. I can say this anywhere. A lot, even pastors. A lot of people don't pray. They don't have quiet time with the Holy Spirit. As they are done with this thing from church, they go up and they are sleeping already. And you say Jesus will change the world. Jesus, you can sing Jesus is the answer. Nothing will still happen. Because it is they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall what? You don't dwell there. How can you abide? There are people, some of us who have siblings. We can't even talk to them. Before you quote scripture, they've quoted. Yet they are living the way they want to live their lives. Why do you think even for instrumentalists, when I started Glory Choirs, I had to create some strict measures there? And say, if you are an instrumentalist, you are not School of Glory, you did not finish School of Glory, you should not play. Let the drum be unplayed. Let the keyboard be unplayed. I know why I started those kind of things. Because if you are not strict like that, the person that is vulnerable, Satan will flow through him and start destroying the work. It's the truth. We must wake up. Today you want to condemn what is wrong. You are even scared because of what people will say. You are scared. You can't even talk. What will people say? A pastor cannot say listening to whiskey is wrong because Nigeria honors whiskey. A pastor cannot say listening to Davido is wrong because Nigeria honors him. He's an icon. He may be an icon for Nigeria but not for the kingdom. And as Christians, we are called onto a kingdom. Are you listening to me? Imagine all of us teach our children righteousness. Imagine how this nation will be 5 years to come. Imagine. Because the smallest unit of a society is what? Different families make up a society. Imagine how this nation will be. There are some children in this nation today. There are some people who can never steal. There are some people on this. They can never, even if you put them in government, they will never steal. You know why? They were brought up well. They will never steal. There are some people on this earth. I can tell you, you know, some say, Pastor Simon, this earth is full of corruption. It's a lie. There are many people in this world. There are people. They may not be in high places because of their integrity. That no matter what, they will not steal. There are many men who are not cheating on their wife. Are you aware? But somebody will be there. She has stopped business. She has closed her shop. She is watching 24/7. Watching people live a useless life. 24/7. Even in the midnight when people are sleeping, she is watching their club events. The parties they are throwing. These guys are almost naked on TV. And nobody said this is a problem of Nigeria. But they say church is the problem of Nigeria. You see, unconsciously, who is speaking through you when you condemn the church? The devil. Because they are painting a wrong picture to your children. Are you seeing what is happening with young children today? The Gen Z generation? That somebody is 12 years old, and if you hear what has happened, you can't even believe it. Somebody is 15. Somebody is 16. Me, I've told my wife already, and I've told the Holy Spirit, nobody owns my child. Nobody gave birth to my child for me. It is God that brought the child through me. You paint a wrong picture, I paint your face. There are not two ways about it, though. Come to my house, you play a holy song, you are leaving the house that day. We'll put you in a hotel, the next day you go back to where you're coming from. You can't stay one moment. Dress wrongly, talk wrongly, with wrong beliefs. We must be intentional. I tell you, some people who today are living wrongly, if we painted the wrong picture to them, they would have not been living wrongly. These things are terrible. Even our cartoons. Are you seeing what is happening in our cartoons today? Disney World. You see what is happening there today? Nickelodeon. Whatever they call it. You see what is happening there today? Even Superman. Our innocent Superman that some of us who are even old have watched. The revised edition. Have you seen what is happening there now? Superman is kissing. Batman is kissing somebody. Yes, they are kissing themselves. Man and man. And you leave your children to be. You think it's not a problem. Until they come back from school with a best friend. You think it's a best friend. What I'm saying, do you know it's happening? In the US, before Trump came, before God gave us Trump. Before God gave us who? Trump. In the schools, what is happening? What is happening in the schools? A is for apple. B is for bisexual. G is for gay. L is for lesbian. These innocent things we learn from childhood. A is for Abu. B is for ball. Now to say ball is a problem. Oh. It's bisexual. I know a pastor who carried his children back to Delta to learn to school. From US, they will school in Delta. Break, they will come to US. Are you getting energized today? So that you wake up and stand for righteousness. Because the Bible says in Matthew, you say, this is what? War. You see, if you are not helping me, you are what? You are what? As you are not going to meet that guy and say, I want to talk to you about Jesus, Satan is speaking to him through somebody. First Peter says the enemy, the devil, is like a what? Looking for souls to what? Devour. They say win 10 souls. You think it's about just making the church look big? No. I hope you know somebody you didn't tell about Jesus. Somebody came and told him about cultism. I hope you know that. Somebody you didn't tell about Jesus when you left. That little moment the Lord says, speak to this person. You are feeling like you should speak to somebody that you neglected. Hope you know God wanted to save that person. In the book of Isaiah, he said, book of Daniel, I sought for a man that will stand in the gap. God always needs a man to flow through. He wants to touch that man. He's looking for a man to touch that man. I can't tell you diverse testimony. Even in this church, there's a guy we led to Christ. That same Sunday, he had already signed he was going to be a cultist. His initiation day, that same Sunday, when the word of God hit this guy, he refused. He went there and refused. They flogged him to steeple. He accepted it with all gladness and went back home. He refused to join. Are you listening to me? Well, we can condemn, but I tell you, God is speaking through us 24/7, trying to change people's life. Is it the embarrassment you are scared of? Do you have a life now that you are in Jesus? It is no longer either what, but what? What shame do you have? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. It is the power of God unto what? Salvation. The highest they will say is that, I don't want to hear. Is it by force? You dust your feet and go. But let it be recorded that you made an attempt. What changes people is not your face. So it's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. And that is why if you truly love God and His kingdom, you will pay the price to know His word. You will pay the price to know His word. When you have 2 hours, you are studying the Bible in 2 hours, trying to understand how to dish it out in simplicity and power. What you are doing is investment. You are God's investment. God will use you tomorrow and change a lot of nations because you are investing so much for God to use you. You may have good intention, but if you don't know the Bible, how can God use it to speak to people? No way. We're in a war, whether you like it or not. That sister you didn't tell about Jesus, somebody told her about hookup. She has started doing it. And don't condemn anybody. Christians, stop it. I told you, time I would have shared some kind of experiences with you, real life experiences. I was sharing with the leaders yesterday. There is no kind of place I have not preached. I told my leaders how I celebrate my birthday. You come to my house in the morning looking for me. Slightest opportunity, I'm talking to you like this. The slightest opportunity, I will fix Jesus inside. The slightest opportunity, you will not know that we'll start discussing. Bible. We are talking about God's word. Because I'm an ambassador of the kingdom. I know if I leave you there, Satan is like a roaring lion. If he catches you, he will deal with you. So I will sow the seed of God's word. Don't judge people by how they look. Oh. I tell you, when I went to wash my car somewhere, the guys were smoking. And they came and sat around me. Oh, senior man, waiting day. And when I removed 500 and gave them, I started talking about the word of God. As I started teaching on the word of God, one said quietly, Na pastor. As he said, Na pastor, the other one just kept the cigarette on the ground and matched it. I did not tell him to off his cigarette. I didn't tell him that. They started listening to me. I turned to their faces, they were almost crying. Me, I thought anybody that smokes should have a strong heart. They almost started crying. And started asking me about church. When I was a student in 100 level, I think, I remember I entered a place. The Lord said, enter here and preach. Behind customary court. Some of you know that place. They just covered it like this. People are smoking there. You know, you are going, when you enter customary court, you bend your first turn by the right, and you are going down. Before you turn to Bahamas, there's a place people smoke there to stupor. That man has been there from remedial days. The Lord told me one day to enter their breach. I remember I walked. I said, but I'm not respecting their privacy if I do that. I still heard the voice, enter there and preach. There were more like 6 people there. And I entered. I went, rushed back, carried my Bible first. Because I have to look like a Christian. And I entered. Hello, hello. Can I talk to you about Jesus? And they just nodded their head. And offered me a seat. And were smoking and pointing to my face. No jokes. As I was talking, he would smoke. He did not do. They wanted to see if I would bear it. I remember, I'll hold my nose, I'll keep on speaking, I'll close my eye, and be speaking God's word. To a point, I saw the first one drop his cigarette. The second one drop his cigarette. And they were just looking at me, as if they want to swallow me up. And I said, now I want to lead anyone that will want to receive Jesus to Christ. If you want to receive Jesus, raise your hand. And 5 of them raised their hands up. I will never forget. I was so amazed. And led these people to Jesus. 2 of them followed me to my house when I was done. Sir, can I see you? I said, no, I just live back here. Just let's go. They followed me to my house. One started. He said, let me tell you my story, how I started smoking. He said, Pastor, look at me. Do I look like a bad person? I said, no, you look gentle. He said, sir, I started smoking and drinking from church. I'm not saying a lie. He said, there's a celebration they had in church. That was the day he started taking alcohol. He said, secondly, the reason he started taking alcohol and smoking was because his father called him a failure. And always used to call him a failure. So he just gave up on himself and he started smoking. I led him to Christ. He started coming to our fellowship that time. I've come to a conclusion that most of these people are just helpless. The Bible said the earnest expectation of what? Creation. Awaits what? The manifestation. We can change this city called Makurdi. It's not a fairy tale. I'm not dreaming stupid dreams. I'm not, you know, when I say none of you, this one, it's like this one, the Jones, they mad. You won't change this city. We can change this city. There are men that change cities. Not just in the Bible. In the early days of the faith, there were men that changed cities. They entered into cities and they turned it upside down. We can change this city. Do you believe that today? So madly good the word of God in the city of Ephesus, the church would prevail. Imagine all of you understand God for yourself. You carry this God to your schools. You carry this God to your place of work. You are teaching people. What do you think is happening? The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a what? Mustard seed. It is a small seed, but the tree is the biggest in the forest. It said the kingdom of God can be likened to a yeast. The yeast is really small, but the effect is mighty. We may be small today. We started this vision with more, probably less than 200 people. But listen, we can take over this city that is more than 2 million people. Are you listening to me tonight? All you need to do, like a God general will say, is to set yourself on fire. And everybody will come and watch you burning. Are you listening to me tonight? So the weapons of our warfare are not what? They are not carnal. But are what? Mighty true God. To what? Pulling down strong. The way to win in this city is not just to be insulting the government. It's to be serious with your work with God. If you think a new day will come in this city, pay the price today. Stay with the word of God so much. Forget your neighbor. You say, my neighbor is not serious. I will not be serious. They are not serious in church. Do not be weary. Focus. Years ago, God called me. He didn't call me to anybody here. Today, all of you are following me to do ministry. I did not wait for anybody before I say, God, I accept the call. Are you not serving him today with me? That's how it will happen. Don't wait on anybody. Start it you alone. If you start alone, your whole family will join you. Your city will join. Your environment will join. Your compound will join you. Are you listening to me tonight? Bow your heads and pray. Thank the Lord for his word. Give him praise. and tell Him you are a vessel that is ready to be used by Him. From the depth of your heart, let that be a prayer. Lord, use me. Use me. Maybe you have prayed that prayer before, you have sung those songs. Go ahead and reiterate it from the depth of your heart. Let your word grow alive in me. Everything in the realm of the spirit that is needed to decorate me as a man you can use, Lord, let it begin to be activated. A fresh work with the Holy Spirit. I pray thee, Lord, today. Everything that limited me to become a vessel profitable for the Master's use. Lord, tonight, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, it is nullified. It is subjected. Pray that prayer from the depth of your soul. Even if you feel unworthy, pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Pray it from the depth of your heart. From the depth of your heart. From the depth of your soul. Go ahead and pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.